Turned On with Sue and John is brought to you by Eden Fantasies. Ready for a little undercover fun? With Connection, you are always on a secret spy mission for the most intense orgasm that will not be detected by anyone. This is more than a vibrator. It's your partner in crime for a sneaky escapade or a third accomplice when you're doing the nasty with your partner. Get yours at EdenFantasies.com/turned on or click their banner at TurnedOnPodcast.com.
This is the podcast for passionate, sex-positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
Facebook was misbehaving today. Zoom was misbehaving today. All of the things misbehaving today. I generally am a fan of misbehaving, but not when it comes to this podcast. Damn it.
We misbehave a lot. Yeah,
yeah. We managed to connect with Sue McGarvey. There she is. Hello, Sue McGarvey.
Yeah, I love when we do these.
I do too, and the listener does as well. We've got some amazing confessions in our kinky confession coming up. We have our So You Think You're a Swinger segment and also this week's fun sex facts. But let's begin here. Weed and orgasms.
Well, it's been proven since the 70s that weed helps women have multiple orgasms. It helps increase your orgasm capacity, blah, blah, blah. Turns out what's new in this is the U.S. government is finally bumping hip. You know, I always say that the reason it's been legalized is because the science is pretty compelling and you can't turn it off. But 4 states, and not even the ones you'd think of. It's not just Colorado and California. No, 4 states are making weed and making inorgasmia and difficulty sexual functioning as a medical condition to go get you to go to the weed store. So you can go to your doctor and say, I have trouble reaching orgasm. I need weed. And they'll give you a card and you can buy all you want in Ohio, Illinois, New Mexico, and Connecticut.
You're right. Those are not your usual suspects.
But consuming weed before sex can increase the likelihood of general satisfaction in more than 53% of women. 53% is enough, right?
Yeah.
So that U.S. has challenges because it's taboo to talk about both sex and cannabis. They're not big fans of either of those, the U.S. government. But marijuana and sexual functioning and masturbation, it helps, you know, close the orgasm gap. As long as you don't have too much, because then you have limp dick and you fall asleep in a pile of coats that I used to do.
The voice of experience, Sue McGarvey?
Well, I really can't hold it. I can't drink. You know, I remember, getting hash in university and literally falling asleep in a pile of coats. But
weed puts me right to sleep as well. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I know. It follows you in your limbic brain. And then, you know, they're doing more research on psychedelics and sex, but let's figure out how we can make it better. So if you're in those states, it's time to go to your doctor and say, you know, my orgasms will be better, goddammit. And I was told, Sue and John said that I can get a medical card. Get on it. Don't go quietly into the night on this one. Your orgasms are too bloody important and life is too short to have bad orgasms.
A little weed to do the deed.
You got it.
This is Turned On with Sue and John.
All right, Sue, the case for pulling out.
Mm-hmm. The withdrawal method. Okay. So when I was training, I was told that people who pull out, you call them daddy. Because
yeah,
it fails
do.
A whole pile of time. Not that kind of daddy, but kind of daddy. And the idea is that the research, you know, that there was, you know, any kind of pre-ejaculate was supposed to be loaded with sperm. Well, it turns out the research on pre-ejaculate isn't as robust as originally sold to me and other doctors. So if you go to a gynecologist and you say you're doing pulling out withdrawal, they go, you know, and they send you home with spermicide, which causes abdominal pain and itching and burning and isn't very fun. And a lot of people don't use it. I'm not a big fan either. So what do you do? It turns out that it shouldn't be overlooked. because in some research there was sperm in the pre-ejaculate and some research there's not. Now, the challenge is it's behavioral, right? You got to have somebody, a guy in this case, who will pull out, know the point of no return. And if the orgasm sneaks up from you from your spinal column and you're just like ahead, it's like, sorry, because it takes 100 million sperm to break down the outside coating of the ovum, right? That egg is an egg. So think of it as, you know, all the sperm working together in a militia to crack that egg.
Right.
Anyway, it's low cost. You don't have to plan ahead. It's cheap. There are no side effects. But for a lot of people, it's the crossed fingers method, right? So if you really need, because you can only get pregnant 4 days a month, the day you ovulate and the 3 days before that. But it's sometimes become more of a thing. And it turns out 18% of couples are pulling out. And it's much more widely used than originally thought. Because, you know, and they're saying that somebody was doing a case that they did 4 years without any accidents. And there's no perfect method, but is as effective as male condoms because you have 3 to 4% failure rate. So 3 to 4% failure rate means 100 women in the course of a year, four of them are going to get pregnant. You can live with those odds, may not be a bad thing. And again, it was something I was trained going, no, you don't do it. But I love when I have new research that are saying, maybe not. Maybe this is something for people, especially if you're in a long-term relationship and you don't want it now, but it wouldn't be sky wouldn't fall if it happened a little earlier. On the other hand, there's lots of stories of 4, 5, 6 years, no problems, as long as you're mindful of it. And I wouldn't, you know, I would be doing other kinds of, you know, packing a lunch mm-hmm. on the days that you're ovulating in the middle of the month. Other than that, it may be a very effective birth control method. So those pull-out, you know, those pull-out panthers that we hear about.
Pull-out
panthers, yeah, that's a whole thing. You know, guys have got the moves, especially if you have some other barrier method. And you know I'm a big fan of the female condom. So together,
right. Yeah.
You should be batting 1,000 with that.
The case for pulling out.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
We touch on the subject every week. So, you think you're a swinger?
Do you? Is this about you? Do you want to dip a toe? Well, it turns out that more and more young people are dipping a toe. There was a bunch of people in their 20s, and in the older swingers are bitching about it because they were doing sort of sex parties in college, and now people in their 20s are going to sex clubs in droves.
Yeah.
And they're changing the music, and the older swingers are bitching. So there's two clubs outside of Toronto in a place called Etobicoke, yeah. Which is a suburb of Toronto. And, the JJ Inn in Etobicoke has, you know, some guy has been, you know, owned it for decades, and it's a bit scuzzy on the outside and it's a bit of a grungy motel, but they're saying you need to get back to basics, which is basics in swinging is conversation and seduction. So he has a rule that you can only play on the second floor after you've sit and you've had the return to flirtation and you've been able to do that. But apparently the second floor playrooms are in a 70s theme. I don't know if they have bowls where you can put your keys, but
amazing.
It is, yeah. So about 5 years ago, there was a shift towards this younger member. And across the street from JJ's Inn is the M4, which is another big club, but it is balls to the wall, you know, walk around naked. You can play anywhere, including the bathroom sink.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I know. So if you're looking for, I want to try anything and everything, you know, you may want to get to the wilds of Toronto. Now, the time I was at Oasis in Toronto with a group of ducklings. It was a crazy, let me tell you the crazy, quick, crazy story.
Sure.
So we're there and we rented a bus. We've driven the 4 hours. We were in this crazy Airbnb and you have to walk through the sketchiest park you've ever seen. Like drug deals going on all around you outside of Toronto in this really sketchy area to get there. And we get there and there's a sign, you know, no outside alcohol. They have a liquor license. That's fair. But we're not even in. They have a camera outside of the building going down the stairs before you even hit the front gate thing. Well, I guess one of our members realized that they had a small Mickey in the bottom of their bag and they may be searching bags. So he pulls it out before you're even in the building and they pass it around and they drink like little mouthful of Malibu rum. Well, they got it on camera.
Yeah.
We get down and they invited us to come and tour it. We get down and they said, no, we're kicking you out. And I said, you're kidding, right? Get your manager. We just drove 4 hours, rented Airbnbs to come to this place. And you are going to kick us out? Well, they only kicked out the people they caught on camera. But I was postal because I have all this. Yeah, you know, hell hath no fury unless, you know, I'm a pussycat until I'm not. So, yeah, had a little tantrum at the front of the Oasis. She speaks
the truth, listener, by the way.
The truth. Anyway.
Which is why we can't be in the same room together. We need the separation that Zoom provides.
No.
I'm kidding.
But you don't ever piss me off like that. Oh, I was mad. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It had, I went in, it had hot tubs and a pool and an outside area and a dungeon and a bar. You can watch the dungeon and some other playrooms. Quite a lovely place. I have never darkened the door since. But I have been to M4, which was absolutely crazy. When I did a television show called Unzipped with Global, and that's when I brought the camera guy. And my biggest challenge was keeping the camera guys from going into corners with strange women. So they're on the clock, guys. I'm paying you. Get back in here. Focus. So if you want to try them out, there are lots of new things. So if you're coming to Toronto this summer, you may want to do you could do the 3 or 4 or 5 swing club tour. Could be interesting.
But the question is, do I bring my records, my 8-tracks, or my MP3s? So you think you're a swinger.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
Hey, we want to thank our sponsors at Eden Fantasies with an S. You can click their banner at turnedonpodcast.com and shop. In fact, you had a conversation with them earlier this week, Sue.
They're so lovely. They're in Eastern Europe. They're just lovely. And we were talking, their customer service team wants to be more enlightened. They get a lot of questions about, you know, it's not my toy isn't charging, so they send you out a new toy. But what they want to do is they want to ask questions to make sure they can give you the best fit. They want to be the best customer service people in the industry. So they're asking me and a bunch of other people to come in and train their customer service people to ask fun sex questions without being creepy. So if you have any ideas on things you want to do to, you know, if you would like somebody to have that to be your friend and what you'd like to be asked in order to help fit you, said customer, with the best toy on the market, I get to challenge that this week. Give me some ideas. I'd be delighted to hear from you.
Right on. Eden Fantasies, they do make it fun. As if you thought sex wasn't fun already, along comes Eden Fantasies. Click their banner at turnedonpodcast.com.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and blasttheradio.com.
You want to talk cougars again? All right, let's talk cougars and sex for women over 50, Sue.
Well, it's really about sex for women over 50s and the men who love them. And some of them are younger. So it's been interesting. I'm having lots of conversations with women who are having trouble because over the age of 50, there's about 130 women for every 100 men.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, we actually lost a couple of our over 40 guys. Like, two died suddenly in the last 2 weeks. And I'm like, eat your veggies. Like, don't die on me. We're having enough trouble with the guys. And I feel badly about it. But the idea is that there are so many women and not enough men.
Right.
So a lot of them are looking at younger men because the younger guys are like, hey, she's still sexy. She has some moves. She's confident. She's not going to worry about whether or not I'm calling her in the morning. I want to date some older women. But sex can be taboo at any age. And we're conditioned to not think of middle-aged women. There's a new blog called Confessions of a Middle-Aged F-Girl. I can think of that's a fun title, right?
Yeah.
But it's... But people are visual creatures, and the thought of wrinkly bodies and sagging and gray pubes think we're not getting it on. But the truth is we're getting it on, and we don't have gray pubes because we're all commando and shave it, you know, because we know better than that.
I was just going to say, some of us in our 50s, thank you very much, are doing okay, you know?
We're going
to the gym.
Exactly.
You know, it's not as wrinkly as you think it is in our world.
I remember being in my 20s. Wondering if my boyfriend's parents were still doing it in their 50s. And fuck yeah, they were still doing it.
Of course they are.
Of course they are. So now, you know, people in their 60s and 70s and 80s, are still doing it. I tell that story about how I gave my mother's book club the still doing it, the case for women over 75, and her book club ate it up. But it
your mother, the minister?
My mother, the minister.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what happens is if you continue to do to have sex over 50, your body awareness improves. You get more time stroking. We all like stroking. Self-love increases. So if you think about these, you know, hot 50-year-old women or the Jane Fondas of the world at 80, you know, doing more self-love, there, you know, there can be your part of your spank bank. You know, they often will do boudoir shots. There's more wisdom, more orgasms. They do less flings, more intimacy. They do lots of just for fun sex. They're aware of their personal health better. All good things about women over 50. So if you want to consider it, you know, I have a whole audience of them who aren't meeting the guys, their own age group, who may look at ones. You don't want them to be as young as your kids. So you can't be under 25 right. Unless you are. And they really do that, right? There's a couple, unless you're Madonna. But the idea is you want to try some women over 50 because no, they still want it. Or at least a lot of them that I know.
They have less fucks to give and more time to fuck.
You got it.
Came up with that like right next up. SSRIs, okay.
I'm going to do a visual for our audience. I love that we're recording this.
Hey, we're working on the website right now. We're going to make every episode available as its own little space, kind of a blog format. So we're reworking that. TurnedOnPodcast.com is our home on the internet. Next up, Sue McGarvey, SSRIs and orgasms.
Yeah, it's not a good news. It's just not good news. So there was a question. I had a question from a listener about it. And then I did some research and there was this great article that starts with, "So I feel like I've been lobotomized," and it turns out that there's over 15% of people who go on SSRIs have long-term sexual dysfunction, and a lot of those people, if you have a significant depression, you actually don't have the side effects. If you've got mild depression, maybe you may want to up your vitamin D, you may want to get the sad lights, you may want to try a whole bunch of other things before you take the easy pill in your coffee, because it's the ones that are mildly depressed or really don't have a lot of symptoms, lose their libido, and it can be years, even decades. As one woman said, "My clit now feels like my knee."
Wow.
So understand that if you know, it can alter brains. And 50% of healthy volunteers developed severe reactions, and there were testicular changes in lab rats. So if you are really depressed, go to your doctor, get some help. If you are mildly depressed, it's time to troubleshoot what else you could be doing. You could be, there's like a list, and I do it with my, I do a group therapy Monday night, and my group therapy is awesome. And they give us like baked goods. There were like three platters of like these amazing cookies and cinnamon buns dripping with ice. Oh my God. So we go to group therapy and we talk about here's 20 things you can put on music and dance. You can splash water on your face. There are things you can do to get your parasympathetic back in line. Let's try that before we go on the serious medication. You heard this first, because you know, losing your coochie, that's like major. That would depress me way more than anything else.
It is ironic. And I was on SSRIs for a long time. I didn't realize. I knew I didn't feel right. They didn't make me overly happy. They didn't, you know, I wasn't as sad as I was. They just kind of make you feel, eh. And eh is not a good headspace to be in when you want to, you know, get lucky and have a little fun. It does. It absolutely has an impact. But I like what you're saying, too. You know, the first conversation I had with my doctor, he got it exactly right. He said, what doctors try to do with people who are dealing with depression, we need to get you moving again. So get moving. And if you do that, because I gave up the meds about, well, in the fall. So what, 5 months ago? It's the movement that is the key to it all.
Okay, good advice. And we want the boom chicka boom movement. So
yes, I do.
Get on that.
Yes, I do. I'm working on that next.
Turned on.
Oh, it has been a busy week in the Kinky Confessional. What is the Kinky Confessional? Why, thank you for asking. Happy to tell you. It's a little space we've created on our website at turnedonpodcast.com. There's no email required. There's no phone number required. So there's nothing that identifies you. So it's a place where you can just type in a few words to talk about something that you have done that you enjoyed and you're just dying to tell somebody, but you can't tell your friends, you can't tell your kids, etc. You can tell us. It's your safe space, turnedonpodcast.com. First up, this person says, I once went to a swinger club and had sex with four guys at once.
Yep, they call those people airtight. Yep.
They call airtight?
Airtight.
Okay.
All the holes, yep, and more.
I call those people, where have you been all my life?
So very anonymously, obviously we have no idea who you are, but now you've told the world that that's what happened and, you know, we're high-fiving you.
I watched one woman with about three guys once at a swingers club. It was so hot. So hot.
Yeah. My craziest story, and I think I talked about this, was being at Desire and the one woman from California. This was, she took every guy in the room. Just
wow.
One, like a couple of them at the same time, and then one after the other, after another, after another. Like, the women were like, it was jaw dropping.
Our listeners are fun. It's great talking to you every single week. Back to the Kinky Confessional for this. My husband likes to cross dress, and I encourage it. Our secret fantasy is to be able to go to a private club or similar that is safe where we could spend an evening with others who also have this dynamic. Oh, I love that idea.
That's lovely. And there's a couple of sex shops in town that will let you, you know, shop cross-dress, you know, like, because it's just fabric. Like, get over yourself. I have people who are like, oh, I'm like, come on.
But can you imagine, like, have you ever seen like a soiree, like a gala kind of thing, even like just like a hotel, like a small ballroom reserved for just a night where, you know, people can show up with their cross-dressing friends and just like have the ultimate girls' night out in some sort of safe space. That sounds amazing.
Well, even, you know, we did a 80s party last weekend, and the first four people that showed up were, I'm not sure if they were in drag. I'm not sure if they were trans. I just know that they are non-binary,
yep.
But whatever, it was completely, accepted. I was commenting on her shoes.
Of course.
And big hugs, and it was a safe place because you make it a safe place. And I think now it's fine. Like, you know, fill your boots. It's fabric. Wear whatever the fuck you want, because who cares? Life is short. Wear what you want.
Just make sure
party pants.
Yep, find your safe space and go to town. All right. Our final kinky confession this week. Hey, S&M. Haha. Why did it never dawn on me that we are S&M? Sue and Milkman.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I'm very dominant by nature, and in the bedroom, I will absolutely take control of the man I'm with. I never found a willing sub to let me give them a golden shower. I wasn't expecting that. But that's my confession. I want to pee on some poor SOB. This is a dominatrix with a sense of humor, too, by the way. I love that.
Yeah, it's urine's a, you know, it's bacteria free, it's a sterile liquid, it's warm, like what the hell? Like, yeah, let me pee on you, it's fine. Yeah.
I'm sure, I don't know what community you're in, obviously. I don't know anything about you other than you filled in, you know, our kinky confessional.
And you're a listener, so we love you.
Absolutely. Whatever town you're in, I'm sure there is a willing SOB who wants you to pee on them. If you're not on FetLife, start there. And you can connect with me as well if you'd like to. I actually got a friend request today. I was very happy. Turned out to be a spammer, but you got to start somewhere. Anyway, I am mega hurts.
Go on FetLife and friend John. It's like, I'm never on it, but yeah, you're on it.
I'm not pathetic now. I'm begging for friends on FetLife. Mega hurts, all one word, H-U-R-T-S. Thank you for this week's Kinky Confessions.
This is Turned On with Sue and John.
Next up on the podcast, anal exams.
Do, 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 do. That you didn't know that you had, and I'm like, there's this new study in The Lancet, which is a medical journal talking about anal exams. And when was the last time you got a mirror and you checked out your rectum?
Just this morning, Sue, of course.
You know, unless you have, you know, mirrors in your bathroom floor.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, and they were surprised that there was not great accuracy in checking your anus for any kind of lesions, right? Women are trained, although I can't tell you the last time I did a breast self-exam. I really should. But I get my mammogram every year and it's all that squish, squish, squish. But for not great accuracy for especially people who are highly, highly susceptible for problems in that area. If you have HIV, if you're a transgendered woman, but 85 out of 100,000 people get anal cancer. Mainly those who don't have their Gardasil, their HPV vaccination, because anal cancer, like cervical cancer, is 100% caused by HPV, which is a virus. It's the only, you know, sort of cancer that's caused by a virus are your sexual functioning ones. So if you're having all kinds of sex, if you're a guy, get your needle. If you're a woman, you better have fucking gotten your needle because your cervix is at risk. And it's covered in some provinces. It's not covered in the States, but it's covered under your benefits. So go get your jabs because you don't have to worry about doing an anal self-exam because I'm trying to figure out. So I have a bunch of mirrors, you know, because I did a workshop where I got women. We all got speculums and I had them do the mirror and the flashlight so they could all see their own insides, which is always hilarious. It's just hilarious to try and do that with women. But
you and I live such different lives.
But I actually got the small hand mirror and I'm like, can I see it? Can I, you know, how do you hold the cheeks apart? Well, checking out the mirror and the light, I'm not that bendy, but it didn't go very well. Just saying. So you may want to have a partner check the little rosebud to see, you know, if there's nothing protruding or anything weird.
So is that what you're looking for? Joking aside, is that what you're looking for? Things that are protruding or things that would just sort of look?
Well, then you know if you have hemorrhoids because it's uncomfortable or itchy and you would know that. But if it doesn't look right, and again, for breast self-exam, if you're washing in the shower, it should feel different. There should be a puckering or you can feel the lump. You need to be able to do that. Is it anybody who's, if you've had your Gardasil shot, do you have to do it? I don't know. The Lancet didn't give me those kinds of details, but I thought it was important that we bring it up. And especially if you're HIV positive or if you're trans or if you have sex with men, if you're a man who has sex with other men, you may want to really try to put yourself into a pretzel, take a photo of, and that would be that was the obvious solution, right? It was to take a photo of yourself to see if there's any changes. Just like you're supposed to take a picture of your back if you have weird moles to see if they change. But we are doing important health, safety health things, and you're not going to hear this from anybody else. You're supposed to take a picture of your ass so that you can make sure there are no changes.
That's your homework this week. I do have a question. We talked about gay men, we talked about trans women, etc. We're talking anal play. So let's say you're a straight guy, because we didn't talk about straight guys, and you're into being pegged. So someone's doing this to you with a strap on, let's say. Is that of equal concern or no?
No, it's about the virus. So I still think if you're playing with a variety of different people, you damn skippy, you need to be getting your shots.
Of course.
Right? You need to, they're, you know, 4 non-curable, right? The 4-H club, right? Herpes, hepatitis, HPV, HIV, and you can eliminate 2 of them with immunization. So I'm a big proponent because if you're out there doing that, however, we want to make sure that you don't have something weird going on, that it's not big changes, because then you can go to the proctologist or in this case, a urologist to see if there's anything going on.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
This week's sex facts on the way, but right now you want to talk about traditional gender rules, Sue.
What I used to say to people is if they were trying to up the arousal, pull out, I watched this thing called British Retro. It's these clothes, right? It's the pinup clothes because the clothes are gorgeous. And the women who wear them on Instagram, it's like it could be a spank bank because they all look like Audrey Hepburn and they're, you know, putting on these beautiful dresses. But the more feminine that you are, often if you're in a heterosexual relationship or even in a lesbian relationship, you are more attractive. So you up the sex roles. But what his study was saying was the more you do that, the more you put on the, you know, the guys with the, you know, football pads and the women with the stockings and gloves, the more sex you will have, but the less pleasurable it will be. The best ones who get the most amount of pleasure are the feminists going, let's do exactly what I want, or the doms. But the traditional sex roles, you may want to jump them, but for both people, you're so stuck in these roles you're not asking for what pleases you. When you really want a little, you know, you may be a guy who's wearing these football pads, but may want, you may be a, you know, a Jason Kelce, but you want, you know, sensuous touch all over. I don't know anything about whether Jason Kelce wants that, but you know, I would want to touch him all over.
He does have three daughters. So he's been touched once or twice.
The idea is, you know, if you, as opposed to just doing, I said, if you wear these roles, most people are feeling more attracted to you. So you want to get some attention, really up it for you. As you said, football jersey, really, you know, the 5 o'clock shadow, you know, clean sweat, which means you have a shower and then get a little, you know, glowy. So you smell masculine, you know, sort of a cologne, like really up the masculine roles. And for women, it's the pantyhose, it's the high heels, it's the lingerie, it's the feminine dressing, it's the ribbons and curls.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is dress for the job you want.
Dress for the job you want.
Pretty much,
honestly,
right?
Honestly, but then you need to take it one step further, because if you don't, if you just play the role, you know, the sex isn't that good. So you may get lots, but it's not as good as if you say, on your knees, boy, this is what I want.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
This week's Sex Facts, next up on Turned On with Sue and John.
Did you know how many men watched porn? I thought this was really low, and I think a lot of people are not self-identifying, because it used to say, you know, masturbation, 99% of men do it and the other 1% lie about it. Well,
yeah.
That's not true.
No?
But they say 70% of men watch porn. I actually know a bunch of guys that don't watch porn. They have other kinds of things that turn them on, but it turns out it's only 70%, so I'm not sure. And
could we not just make it 69%, though, really?
For the sake of argument. And it turns out there is a magic number for how much people want. They want how much actual penetrated, desired, optimum time for penetrative sex. This is not the Sting and Trudy, you know, the 7-hour tantra marathon. Turns out 13 minutes is the magic number. So 13 minutes from start to finish. So if you're way under that, you may want to up your game and get some delay cream. If you're way over that, she's maybe going beige. Let's paint the ceiling beige and be looking at her watch, because it may be starting to be not as interesting.
I hope she's not.
It turns out it's vigorous sex in that department are only 5 calories per minute. So over the 13 minutes, it's not even a Greek frozen yogurt. So you're not getting a lot of stuff. It's not a replacement for the gym membership, just saying. But it does the body good. Sex can bolster, you know, infection-fighting antibodies, and there's more ways to ward off the common cold than doing it. And the most interesting one I thought this week was the surprising number of mothers who claim to be virgins. A 2014 study of several thousand pregnant women in the U.S., about 1% of the participants claimed they were virgins who gave birth.
In a manger, I'm guessing?
This, of course,
and there are three wise men?
Yeah.
The frankincense and myrrh?
Studies that rely on self-reported sexual behavior. I know, right? It's like, there's a star in the east, but there's lots of people who believe that they were very, well, not lots, but 1% of the U.S. women who were pregnant. That's still a fuck of a lot of women. Yeah, drink some coffee instead of some, you know, other things.
Turned On.
Back to Sue McGarvey, who has yet more ED news.
Because, you know, I'm mildly obsessed with, you know, erectile dysfunction drugs, just because I get so many questions about it. And I love questions. Sue at sexwithsue.com. Bring them on.
Yeah.
But they were doing something called fibroblasts, F-I-B-R-O blasts.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, easy for me to say. And this was not something, again, that was talked about when I was training. It turns out that there are older mice are showing fewer fibroblasts, which are things in the penis that help blood flow. Go figure, right? So another week, another ED issue, because there are ways to increase these fibroblasts and increase your, you know, ability to be, you know, hard as a rock, leap tall buildings, all of that stuff. So apparently you can do erection training and you stimulate fibroblast development. So what you want to do is make sure that there is not a week go by where you do not, you know, you'll get sort of half erections in your sleep, and in the course of a day, but you really absolutely need to oxygenate the cells of your penis by having a hard erection at least once or twice a week. So it goes back to, are you having sex a minimum of twice a week? Because it's good for you. And it turns out that if you are on ED drugs, which is Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, Comagra, all the ones that we've been talking about,
right,
you are quite a bit less likely to get Alzheimer's. So another reason to get boner pills, because again, it increases the blood flow to small blood vessels or in your brain, your eyes, your penis, your feet. So you want to increase that. And when you take these drugs, all of a sudden, you're getting all of this action. So I absolutely want to do that. So our safety thing is, don't be afraid of taking some boner pills. They help prevent long-term dementia. So don't forget.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. New episodes every week. To get in touch, find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.